And joining me right now here on the phone line, talk a little sports here on a Monday, is for some reason my voice is now going out. His name is Eric Lopez with Black and Gold Banneret. Eric, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. You didn't lose your voice over like hell in a Cell pay-per-view, did you? I mean,
that's not really
to do it.
Were you actually watching that last night? Because I'm just watching NBA playoffs. That's all I'm doing every night. Were you watching it?
I had it on while I was watching the NBA playoffs, if that makes sense. And I was watching track and field. I mean, it was a busy night of sports. I had College World Series. You had the track and field, Renia Jones, UCF track and field athlete trying to qualify for the Olympics. So I'm following that. And then I got the NBA playoffs watching the Philadelphia 76ers just, you know, pretty much throw up over all over themselves.
Let me start with that question then. If you bring up the playoffs, you saw Ben Simmons where he took four shots in a do-or-die Game 7 at home. Yeah, that Markelle Fultz pick really didn't work out for them, right? With the long-term future of this basketball team?
It's wild. The image I will not forget from that game is the play where Ben Simmons has an open dunk and he passes it up to pass it to his teammate who gets fouled and only makes one free throw. Even Joel Embiid in the postgame said that's the turning point in the game. The trust the process has been a failure. And you begin to wonder now if a lot of Markelle Fultz's issues really weren't his fault. It was more the Sixers and their lack of development. I mean, Ben Simmons has not developed a jump shot since he's arrived in the league. He has regressed from an offensive standpoint. It just blows my mind. And, I mean, Markelle Fultz is probably smiling and not being away from that situation. So, to me, the number one NBA offseason storyline is, where is Ben Simmons going to end up? Because there's no way you can bring him back to Philadelphia. That fan base over there will crush him. I mean, to not even try to shoot, I think people can accept the fact, hey, if you have a bad night, like Trae Young got a lot of praise on Sunday night. He was terrible. He was 5-for-23, but compared to Ben Simmons, he looks great because at least he's trying. That tells you how bad Ben Simmons was.
Would you take Ben Simmons then in a trade?
Depends who you are, right? Like if you're the Magic, I think you have to look into it because you need talent. This team does not have talent. You look at what the Magic issues are, you know. And I think the Sixers have proven something. Just because you're terrible and you tank doesn't mean that you're going to get fixed, because you still have to get the right guys. And I think what we've seen here with the Magic, look at Eric Gordon. He goes to Denver. He was terrible. Nikola Vucevic, everybody, he went up to the Bulls. What difference did he make in Chicago? I think we're starting to learn here, Mark, that the Magic, the reason they haven't been good, I know this sounds real complicated, they just didn't have good players.
I know. The grass is green. The sky is blue. I know, man.
Well, here's a great example.
What?
The Magic could have, if they could have moved up in the draft the year of Trae Young,
I know,
they could have gotten Trae Young. That was who I was hoping they would get. Instead, the Hawks are the team that makes the move to get Trae Young. The Magic settle for Mo Bamba. Look at where the two franchises are now.
Did you at least like the move where they got Markelle Fultz for Jonathan Simmons and a second-round pick? Did you like that?
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a low-risk move, but to get to where you need to get to, you still have to hit on the right guys and give the Hawks credit. You know, the Hawks got criticized for making that move, you know, trading the rights to Luka Doncic. But, you know, Trae Young's turned out pretty well. And look, you and I would probably be right now, if Trae Young was on the Magic right now, you and I would probably be going to games right now instead of, you know, watching him from home. So, you know, the lottery is Tuesday. This is a big night here. And, you know, we're going to talk a lot about where the Magic end up in the draft pick and all that. But, again, I'm going to repeat this. It doesn't matter where you end up in the draft if you draft the wrong guy and don't develop him. And I think those are two things that have to be addressed and have to be keys for the Magic to get in this mix. And I think, you look at the Hawks, they've built a team around Trae Young. There's a plan. And I think you look at teams like the Sixers, there has been no plan. The culture has been, hey, it's okay to fail because that's part of the process. And I think you've seen that where guys haven't improved. To me, it's unacceptable that Ben Simmons takes four shots in a Game 7 at home and does not take a fourth-quarter shot for the last four games of the series. He's gotten worse. That's unacceptable.
And it's not like he's injured either. He's just out there. I don't know. Hey, give me about 150. I could do that, Eric. Come on. Yo.
Yeah, well, I'm confident you'll at least take a couple of shots and maybe, you know.
I know.
Clearly, it's mental. Clearly, it's mental there. And I don't know what happened there, but it's clearly a mental thing. No NBA player in the history of the playoffs has had a worse playoff shooting free throws. I'm not even making this up. Than Ben Simmons. I think he shot ended up shooting like 30% from the line. Like, what? He needs a new address. And I think he could be resurrected. He could still have a good career, but he's never going to live up to the promise that I think that people thought when he was the number one overall draft pick.
Should he change positions and be like a power forward?
Yes. Yes. I think it's a mistake that they try to make him a guard. How can you have a guard who can't shoot? Like, come on. Like, hello? And can't shoot free throws. Like, the guard's the guy who's going to handle the ball the most. So, you know, he needs a change of address. And I think a team like the Magic, if they were able to have pieces to make it happen, maybe get him a buy low, you take that chance and you hope that you can develop him into a pretty good player. Because the Magic need talent. But, you know, and we'll see what ends up happening. But I think Ben Simmons will have a new address come October, November.
So you trade for him, and then you're going to sell the Magic fans on, hey, we got a guy that's scared to shoot in the fourth quarter. Is that it? Is that what it is?
No, I think what you sell him is on hope that, hey, this is a talented guy who has been an all-star, was the runner-up for Defensive Player of the Year. You're a better team because he's on your roster. Now you got to figure out how to make him better. And, you know, and look, into the Magic's credit, I will say this. They got more out of Markel Fultz than I expected when they made the trade. Now, the difference there is that was a low-risk trade, so you didn't really lose anything there, whereas with Simmons, you might have to lose some pieces. So that's where it's a little bit more risky. So I understand your point there. But the Magic did a heck of a job developing Markel Fultz. Now, the counter to that is, well, the staff that helped develop Markel Fultz is no longer there. So we got to have to find a coach first.
It's so crazy. I made this joke like 2 weeks ago when Steve Clifford left. Eric Lopez, I'm just like, death taxes and press conferences by the Magic. Is that what they're good at? Just press conferences all the time?
At least it's on Zoom, so it's not like you have to drive all the way to see it in person.
It's literally, I can't stress this enough. They hire a coach, then he leaves, then they have another press conference to say the coach left, then they'll have another press conference announcing the new coach, then a press conference introducing the coach. It never ends with them, with the press conferences, Eric. I'm sorry.
I don't disagree with you. I can't counter that. And it'll continue until they get better players. I mean, I cannot. Right now, the Magic are basically on ground zero. Like,
yes.
What are you building? Like, who are you building? Right now, who do you feel good about in this roster right now?
That's my answer. I don't know. Is that okay?
Right.
I don't know.
I think that's okay because I don't think they know either. And I think that's why they're starting over. I mean, RJ Hampton looks like a decent player, but I don't know what that means. Cole Anthony, but again, now, you're in a bad spot as a franchise when you're up literally arguing that your rookie should have made second team all-rookie.
I didn't want to hear that. I saw that on Twitter, and Anthony's like yelling kind of, and then players. I'm like, look, this is an irrelevant conversation to the NBA. This is ridiculous. This has nothing to do with anything. I was kind of angry with that stuff. Why? Who cares you didn't make second team NBA? I'm sorry. I'd be motivated to get back and actually play good basketball next year.
Right. Nobody remembers 5-10 years from now you were all rookie or second team. But that's where the Magic franchise is where you're searching for things like that to look for positive. That's where you're at. So that's got to change. We'll see what happens Tuesday night. It's a big night. It's an important night because obviously you'll find out where you're drafting in this year's draft. And hopefully if you're the Magic, you can end up near the top because I think it's a pretty good draft for the top. But you got to hit the right guy. You got to hit the right guy. I cannot emphasize that enough.
Are you amazed that we're talking about a Sixers game and then it just unleashed all our problems with the Magic? Isn't that kind of weird? It's like they've been bottled up and they all just came out right now, Eric. What's going on here?
Well, you know what it is? It's because the Atlanta Hawks are in the Eastern Conference Final. Think about that. The Atlanta Hawks, who did not even make the playoffs. They didn't even sniff it the last couple of years. And they're in the Eastern Conference Final. If I'm a Magic fan this morning, I'm agitated. I would be very frustrated and agitated. The last 2 years, the Eastern Conference Finals has had the team as a number 5 seed come out of your own division if you're the Magic. You had the Heat last year, who ended up going to the finals and was 2 games away from winning the title. And now, a year later, you got the Hawks. Everybody else in the division is prospering except you.
Are you okay if I told you, as a guarantee, in 4 years we'll be in the conference finals? Just be patient with me. We're going to build it, and we're going to do it the right way, because that's what it's going to be. Are you okay with that, Eric?
I don't think there's a choice, right? You kind of have to hope that that's the case, but there's no guarantees, and that's kind of been my whole point here, is there's no guarantee if they don't hit the right guys. I just hope they hit the right guys. And here's the other thing, Mark, right? And this might come off as selfish. We're both media people.
Mm.
Let's hope they get a guy that's interesting that we could talk about on a daily basis, that at least you are like, man, I want to go see this guy play.
Great point.
That's kind of, I think the Hawks did that. I think long-term the Hawks thought they could be contenders with Trae Young, but in the short term, even though they weren't good the last couple of years, hey, let's go watch Trae Young. And I think that's, you know, the Magic needs something like that. They need somebody where you're like, hey, you know what? I'm going to make the drive to Amway, and I'm going to go see this guy play and give me some hope. And then I think that's where maybe in 4 years from now, hey, we'll be a conference final team. But at least you have a guy that's exciting. And that's why they need to hit the right guy in this draft coming up.
They had no All-Stars either this year, because I don't think Trae Young made the All-Star team. So zero
correct.
All-Stars, and they're in the conference finals. That's crazy.
That is correct. That is very rare. They didn't know guys in the All-NBA team either, by the way.
Oh,
I believe the 1994 Pacers, they said this on the Inside the NBA show, them and the 94 Pacers are the only 2 teams that did not have an All-NBA guy or All-Star and got to the conference final.
That is nuts. That really is. Should we have, like, a webcam on your face when we have the draft lottery Tuesday night to see what the Magic do? Should we do this?
I don't know if that would be as entertaining. I think the more entertaining one would be my baffling, confused, and just disappointed look, you know, when I see, you know, Hell in a Cell, WWE, or anything that's involving a Monday Night Raw storyline right now.
I saw a pop-up ad, like, on Facebook, where they're like, Monday Night Raw is coming to the Amway Center. Get your tickets now.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. I'm like, no, I'm good. I don't need to go to that. How about you?
No. No, that's a negative. It's a long show, and it's not a good show. I'll be honest with you. I haven't watched a live Raw show in weeks.
Me too.
Like, I've avoided it because I just don't care anymore. Now, I will say this. Props to Roman Reigns, man. He's kept me watching the product. That guy, I don't know. He's dominating on SmackDown. That's been pretty enjoyable, but... yeah, they're all between the fact they don't have a true play-by-play guy, which is baffling to me, and the fact that, the whole product as a whole for 3 hours is not good. I'm not into the whole Alexa Bliss storyline. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it. It's been dumb, and it is what it is. It's like the Magic. The Raw right now is like the Magic. You're just frustrated, you're agitated, and you don't know where the silver lining is in the future. You're hoping that a blue chipper could come in and save it.
No, I'm sorry. I have a question for you, since you grew up rooting for the Miami Heat, as we're here with Eric Lopez. Do the Atlanta Hawks have, like, a better version of Tyler Hero? And was he playing last night? That's my question.
It's a good question. I mean, yeah, he's young. I mean, he was the best player on the court. I mean, it helped the fact that he was being guarded by, you know, Steph Curry's brother, who's, like, 4 feet tall. And the Sixers somehow didn't adjust to that. But, he's pretty good. I mean, I can't deny that. I mean, that's the thing. The Hawks have a lot of young talent.
You're angry.
Hey, props to them. They've built a team that's entertaining, but I think the city of Atlanta has jumped in on it. I think Trae Young is a true star in Atlanta. I think he fits that mold. And the cool thing about Trae Young, too, Mark, he's a guy that the opposing teams are going to hate, right? Like, the opposing fans are going to hate. Like, the Knicks fans can't stand Trae Young. Philadelphia fans don't like Trae Young. Like, he's a guy that's going to be a good heel. But in Atlanta, he's going to be a hero, I think.
Okay, I got a comparison. I want your take on it. I feel like Joel Embiid is this version's Patrick Ewing, where he'll get you in the playoffs every year, but he can't get you to the promised land. Your thoughts?
That's good. That's pretty good. That's not, and you know, it's funny. They both remember. I mean, I remember watching Patrick Ewing. How many times did he settle for like jump shots too? And you're like, wow. Yeah. And you look at Joel Embiid, like he just settles for 3-point shots when he should be dominating inside. That's not bad. I like that. I think that's accurate. That's a pretty good one. Good one by you.
Thank you. Last night was like when I really saw Embiid play, where now I know how he gets injured, because every time you look up, he's on the floor. He's like falling over, or this stuff, he's falling on a guy, or there are possessions, and I like Embiid. Their possessions, he just like, I don't care about the offense. I'm posting this guy up, then I'm taking a jumper, and then I'm going to try to drive with my offhand, and then you know what it is also? He doesn't make his teammates better. I know Simmons is getting ripped, but I'm going to rip Embiid. He doesn't make his teammates better. I felt like last night, if Tim Duncan was on the 76ers, Philly wins that game. Duncan wins that game. That's how I look at it, Eric.
The problem is, he doesn't have a point guard, a true point guard. The, quote, point guard they have can't shoot. You're depending on Tobias Harris to be your second best scorer, which is insane. Like, he wasn't our second best scorer when he was in Orlando. Why do you think he's going to be the second best scorer on a playoff team? I don't think he has a good team around him, to be honest with you. I think, in his defense, I don't think he has good pieces around him. I don't think they fit. I think they're a bizarre fit. I think he tries hard. But again, the culture there hasn't been to build winning. They've been losing a lot, and now they're trying to win, and you know, they're stuck. And I don't think he knows. I'm not going to blame Joel for that. I think he is what he is. The problem is it's supposed to be a 1-2 punch of him and Ben Simmons, and the second punch is very non-existent.
See, that's why I'd like to put a submission in for Markelle Fultz as one of the worst number one picks. And it's not Fultz's fault. Like, I'll put an asterisk to it, because they said, we got Embiid, we got Simmons, so we'll get like the dynamite point guard or shooting guard, when they should have just gotten Jason Tatum. Like, that's how insane.
And number three, I agree.
Yeah.
If they get Jason Tatum there at three, they're right now in the conference final. He's a 10 times a better version than Tobias Harris. That's the irony of all ironies.
Yes. Is
he would be the finisher that they don't have right now in the fourth quarter. Instead of force-feeding Joel Embiid, you would be going through Jason Tatum, to your point. I agree 100%. That's where they got greedy. They should have just stayed at three. Sometimes the best trade moves you make are the ones you don't do. And they got greedy. They moved up to one, and it burned them.
And then they were so down on him, Eric. They're just like, well, just give me a bench player and a second-round pick for the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah.
What? Hey. Oh, man. It's so bad. Oh, that's their fault. Let's go to UCF. We're here with Eric Lopez with Black and Gold Banneret. How about UCF releasing that video? I think it was Friday or Saturday. I can't remember. Where it's like they're all in on name, image, and likeness. And I know Gus Malzahn's talked about it. Mosier, the AD. What are your thoughts, Eric, when you look at this stuff?
Well, I think UCF is always is a school that is ahead of things. They know where things are headed. They know that this is all where it's headed, so why not embrace it and kind of use that as a recruiting tool that, hey, we're a young school. We believe in the young people. That's kind of been their kind of philosophy to attract the young audience, if you will, when it comes to social media stuff and things like that. They're very good when it comes to all that stuff. So why not use that here as part of a platform for a recruiting pitch? Hey, we will work with you. We will make sure you get compensated if you work from an image standpoint, and we'll make you, set up a deal instead of fighting it. So I'm not surprised by that. I think UCF always tries to be ahead of the curve on certain things like that before other schools do, so they can get a head start in recruiting. I think it always comes back to recruiting and having an image to where you can attract as many young players and talented players as they can. I mean, I can tell you this, Mark. I've never seen the recruiting buzz that UCF has right now with Gus in charge. I mean, there's people talking about, hey, they could get a 5-star player. And I don't care about those type of things personally. Mm-hmm. But the fact that those conversations are taking place, plus the potential of the playoff expanding to 12 teams and UCF having a better access to it, there's a lot of belief internally. They believe that they have the structure there to be a contender. And I think this is an example where they're not going to hold, they're going to be ahead of the curve when it comes to whatever they need to adapt to. If the climate is adapting to this is, let's just be prepared for it. I think UCF's been prepared for it.
Then what are your thoughts on the possibility of going to a 12-team playoff then?
Well, I think it's got some flaws in it first. Like, I don't like the fact that how is it that a 5 seed through an 8 seed could host a first-round playoff game, but the top 4 seeds cannot? I think that's idiotic. Let's just get rid of the neutral sites. Let's have this on campus and have home games if you're going to do it correctly. So I think that's part of it. I'm curious how they will seed the tournament. I'm surprised they're going to 12. I thought they would go to 8. But I think there are still some questions of, I'm not a fan of, well, it's the highest ranked G5 school, basically. It's what it's called, top 6 conferences. Well, are you rewarding the conference champion because they go undefeated, or are you rewarding them because they play a tough schedule? I need that question answered because I would argue that a 10-2, 11-1 UCF team is way better than a 12-0 Western Michigan team that beat up a bunch of directional schools in the Midwest. So those are some of the questions I have, but I'm okay with it. I think it's an improvement. I've always felt they would obviously expand, but I still think there are some questions. I don't think this is the end, you know, the savior of the sport like some people think. I've argued with Jeff Sharon, who thinks this is the greatest thing of all time. I'm still going to watch college football, whether it's 4-team, 8-team, or 12-team playoff. And I think every playoff has some flaws and some questions that have to be addressed. And I kind of addressed a few of them. But I think they're gonna go in that direction, because at the end of the day, Mark, everybody's gonna make more money off of this, and that's what this is about.
Okay, as a guy that covers UCF, and I loved everything you just said, are you excited for the program where you have name, image, and likeness, and a chance at the real playoff? Isn't that exciting moving forward?
I think it's exciting. I think you have an opportunity. But again, I do think it's important to follow the question of, how do you get into the playoff? Is there a criteria? In other words, are you going to get rewarded for playing a tough schedule? So like for example, Mark, let's just say, for example, UCF ends up playing a Florida. Are they going to get punished because they lose to Florida, while a team like Western Michigan plays like Eastern Illinois and wins plays nobody, but they get rewarded because they go undefeated? I've always had that issue in college football. We reward too much teams that go undefeated. Well, if that's the case, then what's the motivation for playing a tough non-conference schedule? And I think that's where we're at. And that's my only concern. So I hope there's a little bit more understanding. But yeah, obviously from a UCF standpoint, this opens up some doors here from the standpoint of from a recruiting standpoint, like, hey, we could compete for the national title now. And it's not a joke, with this access as the playoff expands. No question about it. It's an exciting time, and it should help bring more interest to the program.
I think you're going to be happy with what I'm going to say, and I was yelling it last week, where, you know, you have the college football fan who's just making fun of teams like UCF, like, oh, you don't deserve to be the big boys. And I'm like, look, Florida can't get to the playoff. Florida State, Miami, Texas, USC, there are big boy programs that can't get to the playoff, Eric. So I hope you know that. I got your back when it comes to UCF. Okay?
Appreciate that.
That's right. They can't. Look, the state of Florida right now is irrelevant when it comes to the playoff. I'm sorry I have to say that. And UCF, it's because they're not allowed to go. That's their excuse. The other teams in the state have no excuses right now. That's what I need to get off my chest, Eric. I'm sorry.
You don't think Florida was in the mix last year? You think that was kind of a fluke?
Well, they were in the mix until they threw the shoe against LSU because they're idiots.
Hey, I still can't believe that happened. What was your reaction when you saw that lie?
I was screaming. Screaming. That's coaching. Yeah, that is like moment. And look, I feel bad for the kid. I've had since, like, when was that game ended? November or December. Yeah. I still feel bad for the kid because that's going to be his life. Is they're going to say, oh, you're the guy that threw the shoe. Right? Just get, as a defensive player, get off the field. That is your job. Get off the field as fast as you can. I'm sorry. So you can tell I'm still angry about it. I am.
And you should be. What's the goal of throwing someone's shoe? Like, what's the goal? What's the end game there? Like, hey, I threw your shoe over there. Go get it. Okay, congrats. Thanks.
It was, and remember, it was a good play, Eric. They stopped him on third down to get off the field, and then 15-yard penalty. It was ridiculous. And then the SEC title game the next week, The defense is just trash. If the Gators had a 50% defense, they beat Alabama. All right, you're bringing up the old wounds, aren't you? You're just bringing them all up. You are. Okay. Let's end with wrestling. I want to go back to that real quick.
They got bad defense. Go ahead.
They killed Monday Night Raw. They killed it.
Yeah.
It's over. It's been on all of our lives. It was the flagship show. It's the show that survived everything else. It won the Monday Night Wars. And the minute they signed that contract with Fox for SmackDown on Friday, that was the death of Raw. It's the B show. And it might be the C show. It's one of the saddest things in wrestling. They killed Monday Night Raw, buddy. I'm sorry I have to tell you that. It's awful.
Can't disagree right now. I cannot disagree. It's not a pretty picture. It's too long of a show. It's 3 hours, and it's just not very good. I mean, I watch NXT and I watch SmackDown before I watch Raw, and I watch AEW. So, and that's the thing. There's so much now wrestling content out there that people can pick and choose. And right now, there's not really a big motivation to go see Raw, unless you believe. And we're going to find out to as early as tonight, as Monday here.
Mm.
You know, will Brock Lesnar return and fight Bobby Lashley, which has been a match that people have wanted for a long time, Lashley and Lesnar. Do you believe that will be the SummerSlam main event? That's the only thing that I could see. I think that's the next move. I think that's the one trump card they're going to go to here to salvage some numbers on Raw. Now, do I think it's a long-term fix? No, but that's not how they think anymore. They think short-term fix.
Can I gamble on who wins that match? Because all my money is on Brock Lesnar. He's not coming back and then losing. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry.
Okay. You know, we could have that and Cena Reigns at the summer as your two main events at SummerSlam.
See, now we're talking. Now we got something here. Yeah. Now I'm interested. See, what did you think of a couple weeks ago when they let go like Braun Strowman and other characters? I honestly feel bad, but I'm like, they didn't use these people. So what do you want? Right. What about you, Eric?
I agree. It's cost-efficient move. Like, what else are you going to do with Braun Strowman at this point? What else are you going to do with him? There's not much else you could do with him. So, and they probably overpaid him because they were worried he would go to AEW. And I actually think if you're WWE, letting guys go to AEW is not the worst thing in the world because you just built, you know, keep the guys you really are going to use, and the guys you're not, just let them walk and let them do some other stuff. And I think you're going to see more of that. And you know, I agree with you. As much as, you know, it's a hoopla and all that stuff, at the end of the day, they weren't using him. So what's the loss? And I think with Strowman was the surprise because you've seen him so much on TV and things like that. But like they've done pretty much everything they could do with Strowman. And I think both sides probably need a fresh move here to do something different. The interesting thing, the weird thing is, though, they released Samoa Joe way before that. What was that? It was like the week after WrestleMania.
Uh-huh.
And now he's on NXT.
What is he now? The general manager? What is
he? No, he's the enforcer to William Regal for now.
See, this is the other problem. Are we developing new talent, or have we given up on that? And now we're just going to do the same thing over and over again. That's the question.
I don't know, but I'm still confused by that because like I really enjoyed him on the Raw broadcast team. And now he's NXT. Now, maybe he didn't want to be a broadcaster anymore. Maybe he wanted to seek out what other opportunities there were. Or maybe, I don't know what happened. It was just kind of weird. And now I'm glad he's back on NXT, but I'm just kind of confused. Like, okay, what was the whole point of all that? Like, is it was just to kind of get a pay cut? Was that it? I don't know. I'm confused. But you bring up a good point. I think the big issue that the wrestling right now has is how do you find a new, fresh star? You know, Steve Austin became a big star because he came over from WCW and he got a fresh start at WWE. You don't have that going from NXT to WWE right now. You just don't.
Why?
It's tough. It's tough right now. And I think, I don't know. I'm as big as Roman Reigns is right now. He's not at John Cena's level.
Mm-mm.
I don't know if we'll get to that level again. And we're definitely not getting to the Rock Steve Austin level anytime soon. That's over.
Why do you even have the development center right now? Why? What's the point? Why? They should stop doing that for a while. We have so many people in our industry. We're getting rid of people. We don't need anyone new. That's how I feel on the subject, Eric.
Well, like, the thing is, I liked the NXT development when it was, you know, but now they've kind of decided to make it like a third brand. So
yeah, I don't like it
just
either.
And I don't know about, I didn't like that move when they moved it to USA Network. I liked it when it was on the network only. But, you know, they do what they got to do. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see. I do think the fact that AEW is doing okay is a good thing. Because I think you'll see some guys go to AEW, and then eventually I think what's going to happen is you're going to have some guys that are AEW will go to WWE. And that's where you get some fresh faces, and I think that'll spark some interest. But I don't know, man. I think we're kind of where we're at. And I don't – it's tough because I was – every time I'm watching Steve Austin do that broken skull session, he had Mick Foley on.
Mm.
And it's like, yeah, this is the golden era. It's probably the greatest roster – in the history of professional wrestling 20 years ago. We're never going to see that again.
No. Do I need to buy you ice cream? You sound very down now, saying this out loud. Do you need it?
If you get me to talk about the state of wrestling, that probably will get me down a little bit.
It's not good. You know. It's not. Look,
between that and the magic, I mean, this is tough topics here.
I know.
It's really tough.
Are you over wrestling? Like, are you finally old enough where you're like, I can't do this anymore? I got to be an adult.
No. I'm not that. I mean, with Raw, yes, but like I said, Roman Reigns has been fantastic. I've enjoyed SmackDown. And by the way,
what?
I've enjoyed Pat McAfee on the broadcast booth. Like, yeah, I think that should motivate you, Mark. You could be the next analyst.
Yeah, because he's got energy and he's excited to be there. Why is it so hard for other people? Just be excited. Okay?
Right.
Oh, my God. All right.
He cares about the product, he likes it.
If that's your job. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Okay?
Yeah.
Ridiculous. His name is Eric Lopez. We've depressed each other. Black and Gold Banneret. Eric, thanks for your help and have a great week. All right, man?
Anytime, buddy. Anytime.